بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله محمد بن عبد الله، صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وبعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, we praise and we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mentioned in the MSI, never ever can you put Mawla Ali, Mu'ad Ali first, never, subhanAllah. The level is this high. So hopefully inshallah, I won't bore you to death. Khair barakah. The topic that the MSI gave to me was rights of the spouses, so the rights of the husband and the rights of the wife, which is normally very boring and dry. They normally always give me the dry topics, like, you know, the fiqh of this and the fiqh of that. That's normally very, very boring, inshallah. So inshallah, I asked the MSI, what do you want? What is the objective behind the lecture? And they said, more inshallah, intimacy. So I'm going to be very frank. I'm going to speak about matters of intimacy, and it's going to make some of you uncomfortable, but they have to deal with this. Very, very important. Breakdown in marriages, pornography, zina, all of these things are rife in our communities. Why? Due to the matter of intimacy. So I'm going to deal with these matters, inshallah. And if you're feeling about God, inshallah, the exit is over there. I will also be speaking about in-laws, you know, the mother-in-law, monster-in-law, stuff like that. I will give you tips and advices. Personally, I don't have any problems with my in-laws, alhamdulillah. But as for you guys, I don't know. So inshallah, I will give some advices. Next slide, inshallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, he states that this nikah, this issue of marriage is a mitha ghalim. It is a major contract, subhanAllah. It is a major thing in the life of a Muslim. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught me and you in a beautiful tradition. He said that none of you have true faith, none of you have iman in Allah, a complete iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unless and until you love for your brother or your sister what you love for yourself. So you are going to live with a spouse, you are going to live with a husband, you are going to live with a wife, subhanAllah. You are going to live with these people. Is it not fair that that person has the most right over you? Is it not fair that you treat that person the best, subhanAllah? It is only fair. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La yu'minu ahadukum. None of you has complete iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hatta yuhib li akhi ma yuhib li nafsi. Until he loves for himself that which he loves for his Muslim brother and Muslim sister. So the spouse is the person that has the most right over you. The person that will be living their lives with you, subhanAllah. You will be seeing that person every day. How do you interact? What is the obligations upon you? What rights do you have over your spouse? And this is normally, if you teach marriage, Mawla Mu'ad Ali is in a world of his own in regards to the things that he mentioned, subhanAllah, I learned a lot. But when it comes to the issue of marriage, the first thing that the women say, what is your sarifta? You understand? That's the first thing they want to know. What are our rights, subhanAllah? So inshallah, we'll mention a few things, inshallah. Hopefully this is the first time you heard these things. Khair. So there are, I will race through this, inshallah. Intimacy being the main topic. I know you guys were, good stuff. We will discuss that, inshallah, in more detail, inshallah. There are some rights which each of the two spouses have over one another. Both have these rights. Number one, the right to enjoy one another in sexual intimacy and other matters, inshallah. That we will discuss in detail. That's why we go to the next one. The right to inherit from one another. To inherit from one another. The verses and the ayah and the ahadith are clear in this matter. When a husband inherits from wife and wife inherits from husband. Number three, the right of lineage. If I marry my wife, she is my wife. The kids that are born from that marriage are my kids, subhanAllah. So that's the rights that each of us enjoy. Allah states in the Quran, and Allah proves this concept of rights and obligations by stating, and for them, the women, are rights similar to what is upon them. So like women have obligations, they have rights as well. Like males have obligations, they have rights as well. What are those rights that are particular to the female? The dowry. Allah states in the Quran, and give them their saduqat, the dowry. Allah commands that we have to pay our dowry. Is there any specific amount that the dowry should be? Any specific amount? Any specific amount? No. Any sister, any specific amount? No. The dowry can be in cash, it can be in kind, it can be in the form of a service. You can be teaching your wife a Quran, whatever the case may be. And then you get the pious dowry. Have you heard about the pious dowry? Mawlana, I would get married, inshallah, my husband must teach me surahs of the Quran. That we call a pious dawah, subhanAllah. If you get married, inshallah, say I want 5,000 rand. Say I want 10,000 rand. Say I want the car, I want the hajj, I want a house, inshallah. There's nothing wrong. It is not in conflict with piety to request money, subhanAllah. To request a certain thing that you want, subhanAllah. Support, nafaqa, very, very important. Women love to hear about this. I don't know about this crowd, but in the place where I come from, nafaqa, very important. The husband takes the wife to MJCY, no nafaqa, no maintenance. Allah states in the Quran, وَلْيُنْفِقْدُ سَعَةٍ مِنْ سَعَةٍ. The one who has a lot should spend on his wife. And the one that does not have a lot, he should still spend on his wife. So maintenance is the obligation of the husband, and the right of who? The right of the spouse. Is it obligatory for my wife to go work? Is it obligatory? No. Is it obligatory for me to support my wife? Yes. The matter of finance is a very, very important matter, subhanAllah. Imagine, as one lady says, she says, does money bring happiness? Quick question. Does money bring happiness? Yes, no, what? Simon?
Yes.
Money does not bring happiness. Money does not bring happiness, but the lack thereof may lead to unhappiness. Is it not so? Is it not so? SubhanAllah. Hind radiallahu ta'ala anha, the very, very famous companion, the one who was the cause of the death of the uncle of Rasulullah. She comes, Ya Rasulullah, that inna Abu Sufyan rajul shahih. He's a very, very stingy person. My husband, extremely stingy. He doesn't spend. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives the qadha. He gives the judgment. Khudi ma yakfi. Take what you're supposed to get. Wa walada. And that which is supposed to come to your child. Bil ma'ruf. With the standards and the customs that are known. So the lady has the right of nafaqa. She can demand the nafaqa. She can say, I won't give you any right if you're not going to pay me my nafaqa. And basically, what is the nafaqa? What is the nafaqa? What is the amount that Allah states that you have to give? Quickly. I'm going to question you as well. Right? Not afraid for my questions. What is the nafaqa that you have to pay? Quickly. Any amount?
No.
Is there any set amount? No, there's no set amount. It is based upon the custom and the agreement of the spouses. If my spouse agrees that inshallah I'll buy the groceries and I'll buy the clothing and stuff like that, and then maybe give up pocket money 500 rand every month, khair barakah, and that is nafaqa. Nafaqa differs from society to society. Perhaps in your areas the nafaqa is about 10,000 bucks a month. You get that? In my area, the Republic of Mitchell's Plain, perhaps, 500 rand a month. So we see to the kids, see to the everything inshallah with the 500 rand. So nafaqa differs from place to place. It differs from couple to couple. Whatever is agreed upon inshallah, that will be the nafaqa. Kind and proper treatment, to treat your spouse well. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the believers who are most complete in their faith, the people that have the best iman, the highest level of iman, are those believers that treat their wives the best, subhanAllah. You can be standing here running up and down the stage and looking like a big sheikh and speaking and saying nice things, subhanAllah, but if you're not treating your wife properly, then you're not the best of believers. May Allah make us the best of believers, inshallah. And marital relationship, inshallah, detailed discussions to follow, inshallah. Next slide. Not to be abused, very, very important. Your wife is not your punching bag. Privacy, very, very important. You're intimate with your wife. Can you say, you know what happened last night? SubhanAllah, magic and stuff like that? No. Whatever happens between you and your spouse, that is secret. To speak about the matter of intimacy, to speak about sexual relations in general, to discuss the legality of it, what is this permissible, is that permissible? Fine, that's permissible. As for saying, last night, subhanAllah, magic, in the bedroom and stuff like that, haram. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ شَرَّ النَّاسَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مَنْزِلَةً. Indeed, those who worship Allah, رَجُلْ يُفْضِي لَمْرَأَتِهِ. A man who has intimacy with his spouse. وَتُفْضِي إِلَيْهِ. And she is intimate with him. ثُمَّ يَنْشُرْ سِرَّهَا. The next morning comes and he exposes the secret, subhanAllah. How will your friends look at that wife? How will your brothers look at that spouse, subhanAllah? How will the sisters look at the husband? You understand? We don't want that. We want a pure society. Justice between multiple wives. Explain anyone justice between multiple wives? Obviously, if you have more than one wife, Allah has blessed you. Then you have to be just. Is there a difference? Okay, justice. is the difference between are we commanded by Allah with justice or with being fair?
No, let me rephrase that.
Are we commanded with justice or equality? Do we have to be just or do we have to be equal?
Okay, justice. So what does that mean?
Wealth and time.
Okay, Simon always gives the mufti answers. Simon is one of my best friends. About, so he knows most of these things.
We are commanded with being fair and just. And remember, if I have a wife with 5 kids, she needs a 3-4 bedroom house. But I marry Sister Sumaya with no kids, does she also need a 5 bedroom house? No, obviously. You have to be just and you have to be fair. If this one has a place to live in, that one should also have a place to live in. If my wife, her weight is a certain weight, we won't discuss numbers and stuff like that, and I buy her a certain amount of material, should I buy the other wife also that amount of material? No, I have to be just. I buy this one a piece of clothing, I buy that one as well, inshallah. To be taught her religion. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the best are those people. The Prophet specifically spoke about the slave girl. We won't go into slavery and stuff like that. The Prophet said he's the one who gets a slave girl, he marries her and he teaches her religion. He teaches her a deen. He gives her good adab and good training. So to teach her a deen. What do we mean by teaching the deen? More than an hour to study Quran. You understand? Is that teaching her a deen? Must I be able to teach on that level? No. Teaching her the basics of her religion. She has to know salah. She has to know purification. She has to know what fasting. You know, those things that are incumbent upon her, those matters I must teach her. If I'm unable to teach her, then she has the right to go seek that knowledge. To defend the honor, to defend your wife's honor, not to expose a secret and stuff like that, bedroom antics and stuff like that, not to expose it, next example. Being the head of your household, obviously this is going to be touchy, but the male norm in society is the head of the household. Allah has given us that responsibility. It's more a responsibility than an honor. You understand? But it's not like I'm the boss in the house, I'm the dictator, what I say everything goes. No. Everything is done upon mushawar and consultation and stuff like that. But the one who leads the pack is obviously the husband. To be obeyed in all that. To be obeyed in those matters, then that one not in the disobedience of Allah. So if my husband tells me, make food, do I have to make food? Simon?
No.
Oh, that is something, Chris. I tell my wife, I'm just going to run through these things. When it comes to these matters, the questions will always be related. No, I have to. We're going to discuss, inshallah ta'ala, is it the duty of the wife to make food? There's difference of opinion on this matter. Opinion number one, yes, she has to do cleaning and stuff like that. Good opinion, right? No. Obviously, all people are going to say, no, that's not a good opinion. Obviously, many of the contemporary Saudi scholars, they have this opinion, obviously. I would say that is influenced by their culture. Then you get the extreme opposite, the wife has to do nothing, you know, so it's not the responsibility. And then you get the preferred opinion that I'm of, the middle opinion. It is based upon the custom of the area that you're living in. So if it is the custom of the area, that's not obligatory upon the wife to do it. If it's the custom that she normally does it, then fine. You can also do it, but she decides to do it, then fine.
Just advice to discuss it before marriage, put it in the contract.
Yeah. Sign this also. Contract stuff like that. Most of us, when we get married, we don't worry about these things. Later we start there. Okay. Marital relations, that's the right of a spouse as well. Commonly, amongst many people, even in the books of the scholars, you will find that many scholars state that the right to intimacy is that of the husband. So if he never wants to do it with his spouse, he never needs to do it. But obviously, that's not fair. That's not being fair, that's not correct. She should, that she not allow anyone in the house of whom he disapproves, that's obviously you can't let a strange male come in the house if you. The husband does not approve of this, it's not inshallah. I'm going to rush quickly through this, you don't mind it, problem. If you have questions, inshallah, you can ask me while I'm going through it. I know my slides are not as cool as Malana Mahat, you know, but that was like stuff turning like this. That she should not leave the house without his permission. Oh. Okay, everyone's looking. Okay. I was like, Okay, she should not leave the house without his permission. Authentic ahadith in this matter. Obviously, if you have an understanding with your husband that he does not mind that you leave the house, then should there be a problem? No, obviously not. She should cook for him. Okay, that's, we discussed the difference of opinion. To be thanked for his efforts. This is the right of the husband, yeah. To be thanked for his efforts, he should be thanked. Obviously, anyone likes to be thanked. Understand? If you prepare your wife a meal, whatever the case, maybe you spend money on it, you would like that she appreciates it, obviously, isn't it so? Does it need to be shukran or thank you? It can be many other forms. You get that? that she should now fast a voluntary, she should not fast, not, she should not fast, voluntarily fast without his permission. Authentic hadith on the topic, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the lady should not engage in voluntary fast whilst her husband is present. Why? Because the right of the husband is wajib and the matter of fasting is optional. What gets preference? The wajib. The wajib gets preference. Next. Okay, that's my own thing. Next slide. Intimacy, very, very interesting, inshallah. Say subhanAllah, inshallah. Islam is a more encompassing religion. We all agree that? With that? Islam is just in the mosque, right, Simon?
Just praying there, you get that.
No. Islam encompasses the life of a Muslim. Everything that you can think of, Islam has got answers over there. The matter of intimacy, subhanAllah, imagine Allah speaks about it in the Quran. But one thing that Allah never makes mention of, the Arabic word for intimacy is what? Is jima'. Jima'. Have you heard about the word jama'? What is a jama'? A group of people, right? So jima' comes from the same root. Jama'a means to combine. So if you put it on a certain pattern, you say jama'a, yujami'u, mujama'atan wa jima'an. Two people combining, subhanAllah, two people suddenly becoming one. You get that? So the Quran speaks about intimacy, but never does it use the term sex, or for that matter, jima'. It uses the terms touching. When you move against your wife like that. That's what the Quran teaches us, adab, how to deal with the matter of intimacy, subhanAllah. The sunnah, subhanAllah, so many ahadith, ya Rasulullah. Indeed, Allah is not shy of the truth. Is this and that allowed? Companions, female companions coming to the messenger, speaking about intimate matters. I see these little young girls in the crowd, now you're making me more nervous. Okay. My mother wanted to come and I told her, you can't come. I'm not going to deal with these facts in front of Allah. And the books of the scholars, the literature of our deen, subhanAllah, so many matters. I'm going to give you a few examples. The scholars speak about something called tafkhin. Tafkhin means, that's the fakhir, the thigh. Now, example, your wife, no, my mother says it. Okay, I'm going to mention these things, inshallah. We have to be professional. Okay. Tafkhin means the thigh. The scholars wrote about the permissibility of your wife satisfying you by placing your organ in between the, you see the soft part here, and rubbing it, subhanAllah. Imagine, think about it. That's how detailed the scholars used to write about it. The scholars used to write about tafkhin, you understand? You maybe got some notes going over here, and then putting the instrument in there, and rubbing the instrument. That's how detailed our literature is. I'm going to speak about these matters, these things are frank, I have to be frank, subhanAllah. If I'm not going to teach you these things, you're going to search on Google and you're going to get all the Google answers. So we've got so much literature in Islam dealing with the matter of intimacy. If you feel you're getting hot, inshallah, close the ears, God, some wood and stuff like that. Everyone's still fine? Okay, inshallah. Oh, that boiler before me put a label like this, so now I have to match. Okay, hey, next slide. Intimacy between spouses is a beautiful act of worship and a divine and fulfilling experience, subhanAllah. Do you agree with that, Simon? It's an act of worship, subhanAllah. Bring me a religion that considers intimacy an act of worship. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells the companions, he tells the companions that intimacy with your spouse, you will get the reward of sadaqah, of charity. Why? You're fulfilling her need and she is fulfilling your need. Like how we learn the fiqh of salah, everywhere fiqh of salah classes like filled up, the fiqh of hajj, we also have to learn about the fiqh of intimacy, the fiqh of sexual relations, the fiqh of the bedroom. This fiqh is never discussed, is it not so? So inshallah today we will discuss it. Why do people resort to pornography? Why do they resort to adultery? Because many times the wife will say, no, that's not permissible. But because she does not know the fiqh of the bedroom, the fiqh of intimacy, the fiqh of sexual relations, is a breakdown in the marriage. Next slide. One of the objectives of marriage is what? Fulfillment of sexual desires. Like Mullah Fahad mentioned, we are sexual beings. You understand? We are attracted to the opposite sex. Like I always speak to my wife, and I mention to my wife, Simon, is it something wrong inherently to be attracted to the opposite sex? Even if you're married? No, it's natural. You'll always be attracted to the opposite sex. But when you are married, obviously, you know how to curb that. You know how to control that, inshallah. So one of the objectives of marriage is the fulfillment of sexual desires. Often a spouse will refuse to engage in a form of sexual activity, mistakenly believing it to be unlawful, which could easily sour the relationship. Therefore, we study the do's and the don'ts and stuff like that. Lack of intimacy leads to the breakdown in marriage, problems, which in turn lead to divorce, couples are not satisfied, etc., etc. That's the reason why we're discussing this problem. Does anyone have that? Any questions thus far? Quickly. Quickly, any questions?
Yes, question.
Yeah, go for it.
What happened in the women while the woman had the height?
Okay, we'll discuss that in trouble. Okay, I actually wanted to go through just common complaints about men and common complaints about women in regards to the bedroom. But inshallah, if we have time, we can go through that. Intimacy, discussing it, is it something wrong? What have we been told all the years by Oma and Opa and Auntie and Uncle? You don't speak about these things. Obviously, there's an adab, there's a certain way that we treat the subject, but we have to speak about it. If we are not going to speak about it, Mufti Ibrahim or Mufti Imtiaz is going to check on Google, subhanAllah. So we don't want that. We don't want people to check on Google. Because on Google, you're going to get the opinion of Frank, Simon, and Ibrahim and all these type of characters. We want the expert opinion, number one, of the Quran, of the Hadith, and the literature of scholars. So Allah states in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحْيِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ. Allah is not shy of the truth. Allah does not become shy of the truth. So speak the truth. If it is intimacy, it's part of our deen, we speak about it, inshaAllah. Sahaba used to come to the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحْيِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ. Indeed, Allah is not shy of the truth. Can a lady experience a wet dream? Aisha radiallahu anha, not the question, I'm just quoting the hadith. Aisha used to say, I admired the women of the Ansar. Lam yamna'hunna al-istihya. That istihya and modesty has not deprived them from learning their deen. They would come to the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, our husbands want to do this with us, is this lawful? That's important. When a man sits, listen to this hadith, when a man sits on top, basically it means amidst her four parts, her arms and legs, he sits on top of her, exerts pressure on her, and the ritual bath becomes obligatory upon him. That's how explicit the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. So can I be more explicit? I don't think there's room to be more explicit, subhanAllah. Whatever I'm quoting is going to be verbatim from the books, inshallah. You understand? Don't become angry. Cool down, inshallah. I'm going to discuss this. If you can't handle it, you know he's the exit, inshallah. So this is the hadith. Okay, the matter regarding sexual intimacy, it is rewarding. It is rewarding, subhanAllah. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Ya Rasulullah, if one of us fulfills his sexual desire and is given a reward for it, is he given a reward for that? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do you not see that, subhanAllah, sorry, I just cut and pasted this, the translation is horrible. Do you not see when a person acts upon haram? If a guy goes to a female and he acts upon haram, will he get sin for this? Yes, Ya Rasulullah, he will get. So likewise, if he fulfills his desires in a lawful manner, then definitely Allah will reward him. Next slide. All, this is intimacy 101. Take this book, inshallah, memorize it. All acts of intimacy are allowed except that which is proven otherwise by the Quran and Sunnah. That's going to open a can of worms now. Imagine. Did anyone teach you that statement before? You hear that already? You hear before besides the sisters at the 10 Matthew class? You hear that before, MTS? All matters of sexual relations are allowed unless proven impermissible. That means the scope is very big. We view sex, everything's haram, except, you know, certain things, you understand? But the opposite is true. Everything is allowed when it comes to intimacy, except those limited scenarios that the Quran and Sunnah speaks about. Limited. You understand? Limited. Key word over there. So that's one, that's intimacy 101, inshallah. Part of your coursework, memorize, inshallah, convey. Number two, important. When we are intimate with our spouses, we increase the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah states in the Quran, فَالْآلَ بَاشِرُوهُنَّ Now be intimate with your spouses. وَبَتَرُوا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ And see that which Allah has written for you. What is Allah written for you? Offspring. That is one of the main reasons why we are intimate with our spouses. Number two, to remain chaste. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَا مَعْشَرَ الشَّبَابَ أَوْ يَمْ أَوْ يَمْ مِنْ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ This hadith, it's a famous hadith. This hadith was narrated by who narrates this hadith? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Why? Why does he narrate this hadith? Now you get two things. You get, have you heard about the sabab ul nuzul already? Who can tell me what's the sabab ul nuzul? Someone heard now there's a reason. Anyone? Sabab ul nuzul? Reasons for revelation. Reasons why Allah revealed a certain ayah or a certain verse or a certain group of verses or a certain chapter of the Quran. What's the reason why Allah did that? Now certain verses have reasons of revelation. Then you get something called sababul wurud. And the reason why the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something. Something happened, that's the occasion, and the Prophet then gave the response. That's called a sababul wurud. And then you get something in qiyas known as sababul irad. The reason why a companion said something. So this hadith is narrated by Abdullah bin Mas'ud. Why? Because Uthman, the great caliph of the Muslims, he came to him. And Abdullah bin Mas'ud was at the age of 8 years old. And he said, oh Abdullah, marry my young, very young virgin daughter. And Abdullah's checking like, how can you give me that young girl, you know? Energy's gone, strength is gone. He then quoted the hadith. What did the Prophet say? Did the Prophet say, oh young men or old? For our old men. He said, oh, young men. So marry your daughters to young men. Ya ma'ashar al-shabab. Man istata'a minkum al-ba'ata falyatazawaj. If you have an inclination to intimacy, you have a desire for sexual relations, falyatazawaj. Fa'innahu aghad lil-basar. Because it will cause you to lower your eyes. Wa ahsan lil-farj. It will cause you to protect your private parts. Wa man lam istati'a. If you cannot do that, then fast. Fast, inshaAllah. The next objective of intimacy is fulfill the right of your spouse. Like you have desires, your spouse also has desires. So fulfill those desires. Removal of harmful fluids. You get that? You know what they call this part of your body? Have you heard? Yeah, no, no, no. They call this Baghdad. Not Baghdad. Baghdad. Baghdad, the back of dad. You get that? So the removal of harmful fluids. The very, very famous, very, very important matter, sexual enjoyment, subhanAllah. If there's any pleasure of this dunya that can be compared to the akhirah, then it is not cloud nine experience, you know? Sexual gratification. And lastly, it is worship of Allah. Imagine, enjoying yourself, subhanAllah. Enjoying yourself and getting reward from Allah, subhanAllah. This is a sign of the greatness of Allah, and this is the sign, a sign of the existence of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Next slide, inshallah. Okay, I'm going to skip through this, inshallah. There's a difference of opinion. Next slide. There's a difference of opinion. Simon, is sexual relations the right of the wife or the right of the husband? It's the right of both. It is the right of both. As it is a right of the husband, he needs intimacy with his spouse to keep him chaste. She also needs sexual intimacy. It's not only the wife's husband's right and he can control it and stuff like that. No. Intimacy, how regular should it be? Just go to the slide, inshallah, I don't want you to see these things. How regular should it be? Once a month? Every 6 years? Every 16 years? What? Anyone? Can give your opinions, inshallah? We can't reserve our opinion, you get that? So give your opinions now, inshallah, quickly. We feel the need always to give our opinions, is it not so? So give your opinions, inshallah. What do you think? What do you think is the most accurate, how regular should it be? I know these titties that can be my mother and my oma and stuff like that. But khair and barakah, inshallah, we're going to discuss these matters. We said that Allah is not shy of the truth. And if Allah is not shy of it, who are we? What do you think? Quickly, man. I want to make it interactive, man. Otherwise, I'm going to run up and down here.
As often as the need arises.
That's an excellent answer. As often as the need arises. So if there's a need, fulfill that need. Okay, come to the next slide. So, Imam. Next one, yeah. Every fourth night. Does that make sense? Every fourth night. Yeah, it does. To some scholars, why? They said if you have four wives, every wife will only see you the fourth night. So that means her need and your need with her will only be fulfilled every fourth night. So based on that analogy. They also based it on the fact that Umar bin al-Khattab, one day he was walking in the streets of Medina, and you passed a certain house and he heard the lady reciting poetry. And she said, Lawla makhafatullah. He heard this lady reciting a certain verse, a certain verse of poetry. Was it not the fear of Allah? لَحُرِّقَتْ جَمَالِبُهُ. Then this bed would have shaken like this already. SubhanAllah. Meaning, my husband is out in jihad, and I have a need, and he's not here to fulfill that need. And on that basis, Umar bin al-Khattab said, no fighter, no warrior goes out for longer than 4 months. You understand? Oh, that's the next one. Every clean period. So my wife is in a clean period, her need has to be fulfilled in that. That's not minimum. No? We're not talking about maximum. That's not like where do they base this on? Do you understand the first view? Where do they come with that? The 4 days issue. The second view is, Allah states in the Quran, فَإِذَا تَطَهَّرْنَا. When your wife is free from menstruation, فَأْتُوهُنَّ مِنْ حَيْثْ أَمَرَكُمُ اللَّهِ. Then approach your wives. Allah says, when the bleeding has stopped, then approach your wife. Now there was one very, very special scholar by the name of Ibn Hazm. Have you heard about him? Have you heard about the scholar? Very famous. Just Google his name. He's got a book called Tawkul Hamama, a book dealing with love. So like stuff like Mawlana Mu'adh Ali, you'll find all in those books. He says that you have to be intimate with your wife when her haid stops. Because Allah states in the Quran, when she is free from haid, fa'tuhunna. Then have to be intimate with her. But we argue and we say, no, it doesn't mean obligation. It means merely, it's permissible now. You are allowed to be intimate with your spouse. Third opinion, every 4 months, the incident of Umar bin al-Khattab. Umar bin al-Khattab heard this lady, he went to his daughter and said, oh Hafsa, that how long can a lady make sabr from her husband in regards to sexual intimacy? She said, about 4 months. And then he said, every ghazi, every fighter, when he goes out, he should come back within this time period. And the question, the answer of the sister, every so often without this being fixed at a specific frequency. So if you feel the need twice a week, thrice a week, 10 times a week, whatever the case may be, couples, different strokes for different folks, everyone differs in this matter, in this very, very important issue, then pray in barakah, no problem, inshallah. Get that? Understood? And when I was sitting there, I saw all these guys like, coming like this, though, that snatching like, come here. It's very important, inshallah. So how regular? Every so often. You decide, you marry and you decide that inshallah. Islam does not fix a specific limit or restriction on how often a couple may engage in sexual activity, as the temperament, physique, and sexual libido of each individual varies considerably. So maybe you get a guy that's very hot, and then you get a guy that's not so hot, and stuff like that. Moderation is key in all matters. Islam encourages moderation, whether it is in your salah, whether it is in your dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't be standing there 50,000 raka'ah doing nothing else, just salah. Okay, no. With everything that you do, there has to be moderation. Likewise, like Mawlana Mu'adh mentioned, a lack of this is problematic. We have to agree with that. Married people will know. Those who are not married, they won't understand. You get that. Oh, I don't know. Lack of it will lead to failure of a marriage. But overindulging is also calling for problems. So moderation is very, very important. According to some scholars, what is considered moderation is once a week. So they say every Thursday evening or Friday morning to fulfill your need at that time is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why do they state this? Where do they come from this? Do you think it's true? The Prophet says in a beautiful hadith, "Man ikhtasal." Whomsoever washes himself on Yawm al-Jumu'ah, وَغَسَّلْ, and he makes his wife wash. What does that mean? He caused her to bath. He made it obligatory upon her. He was intimate with her, and now she has to bath. You get that? So they say, every once a week, Friday, just before Jumu'ah, or Thursday evening. Do I ask what comes the time? What book? I'm supposed to stop now.
5 minutes.
5 minutes, yeah. Well, Okay, I'll run through this, inshallah. You said that I must only speak to a quote, but it's not my fault. I came here on time. I think we can delay you, blah, but it's not simple, yeah. 5-10 minutes. I think what you want to continue listening or? Do it on time. When you listen, inshallah. Islam does not specify any particular time for engaging. So should you do it at night, in the day? Simon, what do you think? Simon, so is my victim. Yes?
As you wish.
Very, very important. These things are left open wide for us to suit what is best for us and stuff like that. Islam does not specify any particular time for engaging in or desisting from sexual activity. It depends on the couple. Married couples may choose any time of the day or night for intimacy. It depends on the mood, urge, temperament, stuff like that. It's best when both are relaxed. Oh, most probably at night, late night, whatever the case may be. And then you engage in the matter of intimacy. Next slide. Intimacy preparations, I will run through this. There are many ahadith that I wanted to quote, but I will leave that. Personal hygiene and cleanliness and removal of hair. All removal of hair. Any excess, hair excess, you remove. That means pubic hair that grows where it's not supposed to grow. Facial hair, whatever the case may be, you remove that hair. Beautification, wearing nice revealing clothing, skimpy clothing and stuff like that. Very important. Islam is not a deen. I have to cover my own in front of my husband. There's a narration that says that Aisha said, I, myself Aisha, have never seen the private parts of Rasulullah, nor has he seen my private parts. What does that mean? Simon. What? Anyone? We need an expert opinion here. Quickly. That means it's unlawful to see the privates of your wife, is it not so? Don't commit yourself when the guy asks a question. Always say, okay, not to say no, yes. Commit yourself, you'll always be wrong. Aisha said that, but that hadith is not authentic. It's extremely, extremely, extremely weak. It is lawful based on original permissibility. Based on the rule. What is the rule? Intimacy 101. Anything in regards to sexual intimacy is allowed unless there is clear, authentic evidence to prove. Otherwise, there is no evidence to prove. Otherwise, to be naked basically, so to say, in front of your husband is totally 100% halal and permissible. Unless, obviously, there's kids away, people away. You know, you have to know your limits. Yes, you have to know your limits. So, skimpy clothing, maintain the figure, very important for the wives and stuff like that. Touchy subject, and feminine behavior. Guys love it, they need to be soft, you understand? Whispering in the ear, feminine qualities and stuff like that. No, she doesn't like that, you know, dominant baby and stuff like that. Allah knows best. Different strokes for different folks. Okay, next slide. Preparation for husband, quickly, personal hygiene and cleanliness, you know. Breath, arms, stuff like that. Nice clothing, you know, you look good. And good treatment, you know, seduce the wife and stuff like that. Islam is not against these matters. Oh. Okay, we run through this as well, inshallah. I'm very, very sorry for this. Engaging in foreplay is immensely important. Everyone agrees with this. And a vital concept, a part of a happy marriage, it should not be ignored. Very, very, very important. Why not? A virgin, listen to this hadith. Jabir, radiallahu anhu, comes to the Prophet, ya Rasulullah, got married. The Prophet said, did you get married to a virgin or a non-virgin? He says, ya Rasulullah, got married to a non-virgin. Is anything wrong marrying a non-virgin? No, it's not. Prophets also married a non-virgin. Many non-virgins. He says, Oh my Sahabi, oh Jabir, Allah Bikran. Why did you not get married to a virgin? To la'ibuha wa to la'ibuka. You can play with her, and she can play with you. Imagine. Beautiful, isn't it? Imagine playing with one another. Foreplay, very, very important. Kissing and stuff like that. I don't want to go into the details, biting. The Prophet ﷺ used to suck the tongue of Aisha radiallahu anha. Before every salah, he would kiss Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. The matter of wudu breaking, yes, no, that's a different discussion. Massaging and caressing and stuff like that. All part, inshallah, part and parcel. Areas of sensitivity behind the ears, behind, you know, the areas, I'm not going to go into that and stuff like that. Allow to bite. As for public affection, you know, love bites, permissible? No, not permissible. To bite the spouse is permissible. As for making it public and stuff like that, all in the box, you know, that's not permissible. Body contact, showering together, all those matters are permissible. There's obviously lots of ahadith and stuff like that that I wanted to cover, but this guy is impatient over here, so let me. Khair, inshallah. The masala of master, if we get this word right, masturbation. Permissible or not permissible? Mala Mahad spoke briefly about it, but he didn't give the details about it, inshallah. So this is my department here. Masturbation. In Arabic, they call it. What do they call it? Al-Adatu. Al-Adatu Sibiyah, something like the secret habit and stuff like that. It's a very beautiful name for that act. Is it permissible, yes or no? Permissible, yes or no? Now you know the answer, obviously. Because you went to class, so I mentioned these things. Any other person? Don't come with yourself, timing. Of the sisters, inshallah? This is male and female masturbation. Is it permissible, yes or no? Quickly, inshallah. We'll come to that now, inshallah. Permissible, yes or no? Now look at me now. Permissible, yes or no? Doing it to yourself, haram, according to the majority of the scholars. According to the vast majority of the scholars, haram. What is the proof of this? Allah says in Surah Al-Mu'minun, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِدُونَ. Those who guard and protect their private areas, إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ. Except, they do not protect it from their wives. Why? It's permissible. أَوْمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ. They do not protect it from their slave girls, because that's permissible. And then Allah says, and we say, if a desire is something further than that, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ. Those people are transgressing the limits of Allah. Allah does not give the leeway of masturbation. Allah does not state it is lawful. Allah has given you a wife. Allah has given you fasting. Ya Rasulullah, we can't get married. Fast. Why did the Prophet not say masturbate? You get that? So, according to the majority of the scholars, it is haram. As for mutual masturbation, husband to wife, wife to husband, we go back to the original rule. What is the original rule, Simon? When it comes to matters of intimacy, everything is allowed unless there is authentic, clear evidence to prove otherwise. You get that? Everyone has that? I know it's a bit, this topic, man. Sensitive, yeah, no. But obviously, I'm discussing it from a legal perspective, not from, oh, yes, do it and stuff like that. I'm discussing it, is the person sinful or not? Next slide. Read that word for me, inshallah, ta'ala. Read that word, please. Fallacy, what does fallacy mean? Simon. Wait, even. Tell me. There's no haya here now because you're discussing these issues now. Fallacy, quickly, what's that? Fallacy. No one knows.
Haya version of the
MashaAllah. MashaAllah. All. Get this right, stimulation of the penis. Basically, to be frank, placing the organ of the male into the mouth of the female. It's very uncomfortable, I know. Normally I get hot, I get my jacket off and stuff like that. But we are discussing the matter from a legal perspective. Number one, intimacy 101. What's the rule, Simon? Everything in intimacy is allowed unless proven impermissible by clear, authentic evidence. So we need authentic Quran and Hadith, authentic Hadith, and we need explicit evidence. Two matters. Based on that rule, the matter of fellatio is 100% permissible. But with a slight dislike, it is something disliked but not haram. Everyone gets that? Alhamdulillah. So it's permissible. That's permissible. There's many scholars, conservative ulama, conservative like Sheikh Al-Bani, Nasiruddin Al-Abadi, who was a hadith scholar, used to say that this is an action done by the dogs. Who licks another person's private area? A dog does that. You get that. Smells it, he licks it, and stuff like that. But did he state it is haram? He doesn't have that type. Why? There is no evidence to prove it being wrong and haram, so to say. So, it is not haram, it is 100% permissible. As for fluid that comes out, there we have to make a distinction. Number one, money, sperm, according to the majority of the scholars, is pure and not impure. It's not najis, according to the majority. Obviously, there is difference of opinion in this matter. Number two, as for madi. What is madi? Madi is pre-seminal fluid, jazakallah khair. Pre-seminal fluid. According to the majority of the scholars, this is najis. So technically, if you can get this right, you're doing this act, so to say, and then every time you remove it, and then you do the act, and then you remove it, then in that scenario, it will be permissible. and Allah knows best, and inshallah, I'm just discussing the legal ruling, inshallah. I know it's uncomfortable, but I wanted to discuss this because we have many, many misconceptions about sexual intimacy. And that's why Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, in many of his works, he says, وَيَجُوز فُنُون, he says, كُلْ فُنُونِ جِمَعَ, all aspects of sexual relations are permissible. And it does not exclude fellatio, basically. Next issue, inshallah, cunnilingus, it's the opposite. It's the opposite when the husband applies his mouth to the private area of the female. Based on the previous rule, it is also permissible. Next, inshallah. Anal intercourse, obviously there are certain exceptions. What are those exceptions when it comes to intimacy? Anal intercourse. You understand? Penetrating the anus of the spouse, it is 100% haram. Yes, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in the law, indeed Allah is not shy of the truth, you are not allowed to penetrate the anus of your spouse. It is haram. Next, these things will come in the Quran and authentic hadith. So what I'm quoting is verbatim in the Quran and hadith. It's not my own concoctions. Intercourse in menses and postnatal bleeding, forbidden. You cannot be intimate with your spouse when she's bleeding, postnatal bleeding or menses. As for, have you heard about istihada before? Istihada is when it is not haid and when it is not nifas, then it is a certain.